Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Makos Daf Yud Beis. We begin six lines off the top of the Amud. Nigmar Dinai V'chulu. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. The Pasuk in Malachim tells us that David HaMelech in his waning days instructed his son Shlomo to eventually strike at Yoav ben Tzruya, who was the general of his army, of David's army. And Yoav ben Tzruya was guilty of killing two individuals, Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeser. And as a result, David told Shlomo that he deserves to be killed. And in fact, later on, Shlomo pursued Yoav, who escaped over to the Mizbeach. Now Rashi explains it was not a Mizbeach in a Beis HaMikdash, which was not built yet, or even a Mishkan, which was not there yet. Rather, David HaMelech had built a Mizbeach in front of the Arayin that that we had then. And that was the Mizbeach that Yoav fled to. He escaped to that Mizbeach thinking it's going to provide him with some measure of protection, of refuge. And this was based on a pasuk, which the Gemara in Yuma elaborates on. It says, "Me'im mizbechito kechenu lamus." If a kohen commits murder, you should take him even from the mizbeach. But the Gemara in Yuma learns, "Me'im mizbechi" means "v'loy me'al mizbechi." But if a kohen is engaged in actual service on the mizbeach, on the actual avoid of the karbonis, you must let him finish. You cannot take him away, even if he's guilty of murder. Yoav, upon hearing that he was being pursued, escaped to the Mizbeach, thinking it's going to provide him protection. Amar vidamarav, shtei tu'uyos, to'oyoyev v'isashah. In fact, Yoav committed two mistakes. He had two misunderstandings. Dechsiv ayonos Yoav al oyel Hashem, v'yechzik b'karnes Mizbeach. He grabbed the corners of the Mizbeach, thinking it's going to protect him. First mistake, she'eino yikoylet el agagoy. It only protects when you're on the Mizbeach. V'hu tafas b'karnosav. He grabbed hold of the corners, which are ineffective. Number two, ta'a, she'ina kulit el mizbeach b'salamim. Only mizbeach in the actual Beis HaMikdash, who will actually protect. Or mizbeach of Shiloh, Mishkan Shiloh. So, Mefarshim explained based on Rashi. But this wasn't even that. V'hu tafas mizbeach shel Shiloh. But in this case, it wasn't even that. And Rashi has a different gerus instead of Mizbeach Shal Shiloh, because there was no Mishkan Shiloh at that point. Mizbeach Shal Bama, Rashi calls it. It wasn't even a formal Mizbeach, in which case it does not do the trick. Abaya Omer Bahonami Mitata. He had a third mistake that he was committing. Ta. The mistake was, Shein Ekoilet El Akoin, Vavoida Beyata. It only works for a Koin who's in the midst of Avoida. Vu Zaraya. He was a non-Koin. So either way, it would not have worked. Similar to this concept, we have regarding the Tsar, the heavenly minister of Rome, Samach Mem. His name is spelled Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, for those who are particularly not actually pronouncing it. So we have the Samach Mem, a Tsar of Rome, of Esav, who Hashem will punish in the days to come for all the trouble that he caused our nation. So he too will be making many mistakes, thinking that it will protect him from judgment. Amresh Lakish, Shalosh Te'uyos Asid. There will be three mistakes that will be committed by Sarai Shal Raimi, the Tsar, the heavenly minister of Rome, the angel minister. Litois, he will make these mistakes. Achsiv. The Pasuk, describing Hashem's application of judgment against the Malachim, Rashi explains that La'asad Lavi, when Hashem will pay back the Goyim, first, it's going to be applied to the Sarim in Shemaim, their ministers, their angels that control them, and only then will it come down to this world in a physical sense. And it will be applied as judgment, as punishment against the physical Goyim, the human Goyim in this world. So the pasuk here, Rashi says, is obviously a more of like a marshal, because Hashem is not a human being, chas v'shalom. But it describes it in such terms. Tachsiv mize bomit Edoim, Hashem returning from Edoim, chametz bugadim, his clothes bloodied by the through killing because of as a result of killing the Sar Shel Esav, and he's coming back from a place called Batra. Chametz bugadim Batra. Why was the Sar of Esav hiding out in Batra? Toya she'ena keletes ela betzer. So his first mistake was, he ran to Batra, a totally different city, thinking it's going to be a city to protect him from his judgment, like an Ir Miklat. In reality, she'ena keletes ela, which city works? Betzer. And he escaped to Batra, which was ineffective. Number two, second mistake, Toya she'ena keletes ela shogeg. Ir Miklat only worked for a person who killed accidentally. Who made it? Whatever he did was intentional. Haya, so it's ineffective for him. Thirdly, Toya she'ena keletes ela adam. It only works to protect a person. Who? But he is a malachu. Amar Rabbavo, Arei Miklat lenitnu likvura. Those cities of refuge, which technically belong to the Levim, of course, which they had to share with the Reitzchim b'Shkaga, the Levim may not bury their dead in those cities. It's not meant for the kvura of the Levim. B'chsev u'migrusheim, yu'le behemta, v'lurchushem, l'chol chayosem. So their cities, their cities were surrounded by, we're going to see soon in more detail, they had like these open air areas, and the unplanted areas right around the city, after which they had their orchards, their fields. So we have these cities, the migrashim, the sadis. It's meant for l'behemta, v'lurchushem, chalchayasam, and we learn chalchayasam means for life purposes, not for burial. L'chaimit nitnu, v'loy l'kvur, not for burial. Meisve, bevakasha. Because we learned yesterday that the fellow who runs away to the Ir Miklat stays there, right? And in fact, the Mishnah focused on the words Asher Nos Shamma. Shamma meaning that's his last stop. That's where he lives, that's where he dies, that's where he's buried. Apparently you can bury in there. May say Shamma, Shamtei Dirasai, right? Shamtei Misasai, Shamtei Kvarasai. And here we say there's no burial allowed. Answer is Ritzeach Shani. The Ritzeach gets special privileges that the Levim, the host owners, don't have. Dugali b'Rachmana, where the Pasuk clearly allows it for the Ritzeach. Kshem Sheir Koletes, Mishnah says, just like the city provides refuge, so does the Tchum, right, the 2,000 Amma ring around the city, protect as well. V'raminu b'Vakasha from a Braisa, which says V'yosha Bo, he has to dwell in the city, Bo v'le b'Tchum, only the actual city, but not the Tchum. Am Rabbi Lekasha, depends for what? Kan Lekloit, Kan Loder. Loder, to actually live, only the actual city does that for you. You can't live outside. But technically, to absorb you, to provide protection, even the Tchum does the job. Right? Loder asks the Gemara, we need to outlaw living permanently in the Tchum, outside the city. Well, in any case, it's a Levi city. A Levi city has very special, zoning codes. Tepuglei. So either way, you can't live outside the city. It's meant to be left open, uninhabited, unbuilt. Dein oisin sada migrash. The place which is meant to be the field and not meant to be left open. Velo migrash sada, the place right around the city, which are meant to be open air, areas to sort of frame the city nicely. It's not meant to be converted into a sada. Right? And certainly, loy migrash ir, v'loy ir migrash. The unbuilt is not meant to be a built, nor is the built meant to be unbuilt. So what's he doing living outside the city? Amar Rav Sheshes, le'nitzrucha l'macheleis. We're speaking of he's living underground in a tunnel, without actually converting the visible space into a living area. So perhaps that would be allowed. No, the Pasuk says, he meant to live inside the Ir Miklat. Ritzeach sh'yotza chutz l'tchum. He encounters a fellow called a Goyel Hadam, who's seeking to get even, so to speak, to avenge. There's such a concept in Torah, to be Goyel, to redeem, so to speak, the blood of that victim. So he's a relative of the fellow who's killed accidentally. And the point of the escaping to the Ir Miklat is to protect oneself from a Goel Hadam, who may not access him in the Ir Miklat. What if he steps outside? Then he's liable to be killed by the Goel Hadam. Tan Rabbanan. The question is, what is the Goel Hadam's status? Is he allowed to kill him? Should he kill him? Is he not allowed to kill him? What about other people? Can they step in and kill the murderer instead of a Goel Hadam? Right? Tan Rabbanan. V'rotzach Goel Hadam as Ritzeach. Pasuk describes the Goel Hadam killing the Ritzeach, who happened to venture outside the Ir Miklat. We learn, mitzvah be at Goel Hadam. It's a mitzvah for him to do it. What happens if there's no Goel Hadam? Ain Goel Hadam, Rishus be at Kol Adam, anybody can get involved and do the same. Difference is, Goel Hadam has a mitzvah, otherwise it's optional. Divrei, Hushita is that? Be Yitzyaglu. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he says, let's step it down one level. Rishus be at Goel Hadam. A Goel Hadam is allowed to kill. Kol Adam chayav an alav, but nobody else is allowed to do that. My time to Rishus be at. So what's the source of the first Shita? Miksiv imratzach. And the Pasuk describes the, right? The ratzach Goel Hadam as a retzeach. Right? After he ventured the outside the Ir Miklat, it doesn't say im ratzach, if he so happens to kill him. Veratzach, he should, he has a mitzvah too. Miksiv im ratzach, right? Rabbi Kiva, who says it's only optional, responds, well, you're right, but it doesn't say he has to. Miksiv yirtzach. If it would say yirtzach, it would mean he has to. Veratzach is just a description of events. He happened to decide to do it. Amar Mazrutz Bartuvi Amara, Ritzeach Shiyotzach Zotchum. Here comes yet a third opinion. If a Ritzeach, who had escaped to the Ir Miklat, ventured outside the Ir and outside the Tchum, he's now vulnerable to attack. Umotzoi Goel Adam Varogi Neragalov. The Goel Adam encounters him and kills him. The Goel Adam is Chayav Misa. He's not allowed to kill him. Whose Shita is this? Who doesn't allow Goel Adam to kill? Kiman, whose Shita is this? Look, Rabbi Saglili. Look, Rabbi Kivu. None of the above. So whose opinion? Who the Amar Ki Aitana? He's following yet a third opinion. The Sanhedrin was Omer. Amdei Lufnei Eidel Mishpat. So Pasuk says that the Ritzeach is meant to be protected, right? That's why he has the Ari Miklat. He shouldn't die until he's dealt with by the Bezdin, right? So the question is, Matam Ulema. What's the point of this pasuk? The answer is, because we have that pasuk, which indicates that a Goel Adam is allowed to kill a Ritzeach. Yochal Miyad. Perhaps that would give him a green light to kill him on his own, right? Even without the Bezdin getting involved. Talmud Leimar comes to Pasuk and says, no, you're making a mistake. There's no allowance for a Goel Adam to kill. Only the Sanhedrin is authorized to kill people. Talmud Leimar Amdoi, Ufnei Edel Mishpat, if in fact he's guilty, the Bezdin will take care. The Bezdin will kill him. That's it. So basically, the pasuk is just instructing us to ensure that a guilty murderer is dealt with properly in the Bezdin. But otherwise, if it's been confirmed that it was an accident and he belongs in the Ir Miklat, you have no permission to do anything to him. Now, let's go back to the other shittas. Rabbi Yisya Glili, Rabbi Kiva. What do they do with this pasuk? Which sounds like he's forbidden. It's forbidden to kill him. Hi, ad amdei lufnei edel mishpat, my dor shibei. What did they do with this pasuk? It's coming for something else entirely. Homi boyle, look at the sanya for the brisa. Rabbi Kiva Omer menayin la Sanhedrin. Sharo echa charag sanefesh. Let's say, you know, the Bezdin was walking along and they witnessed a murder. Can they themselves litigate the case based on what they saw? Sanhedrin Shiro, Echad, Sharag Sanevish, Shein Mamisan Oisoi. They may not do that. They cannot carry out judgment. Ad Shiyamoid, Bebezdin Acher. Unless he stands judgment in front of a different Bezdin, and they come and they can, you know, obviously testify what they saw, but they can't take matters into their own hands. How do I know? Tamalay Marad Omdoi, Fnei Oidel Mishpat. They have to go stand in front of another Bezdin. Ad Shiyamoid, Bezdin Acher. Interestingly, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah provides a reason for this. He says because, especially by Dinei Nefashos, there's a pasuk v'hitzilu ha'edo. So specifically there, we have to seek to exonerate, to look for all types of mitigating factors of hatzala, of limud zechus, and human nature doesn't allow very easily for limud zechus when you personally were involved and you noticed something happening. So the fact that they were personally witnessing the act doesn't allow for a proper objective approach to the case, hence another court has to be involved. So we have the Reitzeach finally arriving in the Ir Miklat, and the Pasuk says, well, if he ventures out, he's going to be vulnerable to attack. So what's the double expression, Yotzo Yetze, right? Only Ela B'Mezid, because perhaps only if he left willingly. Then he's, what about B'Shogeg? If he left by accident, he ventured out, absentmindedly, Menayin. What about this case? Is he vulnerable to attack? Tamo Leimar, Em Yotzo Yetze M'Kal Mokoyim. The double Lashon covers even B'Shogeg. So the extra pasuk, extra word is a drush, M'Kal Mokoyim. We have a brisa which says b'meizid nerag b'shogeg goyla, that if the fellow left b'meizid, then he can be killed by the goyla adam. But if he left only b'shogeg, nobody can kill him. Goyla, he has to go quickly back to the Ir Miklat. But that's it. Says imo lekasha. We can answer the apparent conflict like this. One brisa which says that even b'shogeg he's vulnerable. The other brisa which says, no, he's not. Because the first brisa sourced itself in the double expression, double word, im yotza yetzei, to indicate that even b'shoigeg, whereas the second brisa does not use that source. Why? Because the second brisa is working with the concept that sometimes the Torah expresses itself in a manner similar to the way people speak, and people sometimes will repeat something for emphasis, for, you know, poetic, you know, flair. So the extra word is not coming to teach us any halacha. Whereas the first brisa does make a deal with it about that duplication. Hakamad Amar, lo yamrinan. We don't say dibra toruk lashmini adam, and the duplication covers even a shaykik. Amar Abaye, mistavruk mand Amar. I think, says Abaye, that it's more likely that we go with the second approach. Dibra Torah, Kulasha Mnei Adam. And he's not really liable if he absentmindedly ventured out. Shelo yehi soifa yuchama mitchilasai. Because it cannot be that the end is more severe than the beginning. Which means, matchilasai, just like initially, meaning after he killed a person. B'mezid nerag b'shogeg goyla. If it was b'mezid, he gets killed. But b'shogeg, he goes to galus. Av seifa. Likewise, later on, at this later point, when he happened to venture out of the city, it's unlikely that he's responsible more than initially. So, meaning, yeah, if he leaves b'mezid, nerag, he deserves to get killed. Av b'shogeg, if he just left by mistake, it's unlikely that he's liable to death. Rather, Goyla, just send them back to the Ir Miklat. Now we have an apparent contradiction regarding a father and a son. Tani Chad, one brisa says, Av Shaharag Benoi, Nasa LeGoyla Adam. What happens if a father kills? He has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. He kills Reuven B'Shogeg. So Bnoi, the second son, Shimon, Nasa Le'Goyel Adam, becomes, can take on the position of a Goyel Adam for his, you know, brother Reuven, and attack his father on that account. But Tanya, if we have another Braisa, he may not do so. Ein Bnoi Nasa Le'Goyel Adam. Shimon cannot take on the status of a Goyel Adam vis-a-vis his father. So what's the Machlekes about? A minute ago we had a Machlekes between Rabbi Sekhlili and Rakiva. Rabbi Sekhlili says, well, Goyel Adam has a mitzvah to attack thee, and Rakiva says it's only option. So perhaps it's connected to that Machlekes. Lema, perhaps we can say, ha! The Braisa which says that he does have a right to kill the father, Rabbi Sekhlili, holds that it's a mitzvah. So the son has a right to keep the mitzvah. But Rabbi Kiva, the second Braisa, which says no, like Rabbi Kiva, and it's only an optional thing. So therefore, by a father, for some reason, doesn't apply. Is that the pshat? But tisbra, how can you suggest that? Because bein l'mad amar mitzvah, bein l'mad amar rishus, either way, whether it's a mitzvah or optional, mishari, how can you suggest that a son can kill a father? Va'amar rabba, barafuna, v'chein tanu de'er b'shmoel. We had this back in Sanhedrin, actually. La'koil ena ben asa shliach la'aviv. La'koil isu l'kil l'asai. Even if a son is employed by a bezdin, he may not be appointed as an emissary of the bezdin to apply punishment to a father, to his own father, to give him malchus, to excommunicate him, which is a form of curse. So that applies typically, with one exception, chutz mimesis. The father was confirmed to be a mesis, a missionary, right? In that case, we make an exception. Shari Amr Torah, Torah says, loy sachmu, basachas olav, no mercy, no, right? Clearly, even if he's engaged in applying punishment for the sake of mitzvah, it's not his business. A son is not allowed to do that. So how could he become a Goyel Adam? El Kasha, rather the proper solution to this Kasha. The first Braisa which says that he may not. The second Braisa which says that he may. We're speaking about different people. Habib Noi. If it's a son, he may not turn against his father. The second Braisa is speaking about a grandson. So let's say father killed Reuven, and Reuven's son is now turning back against the grandfather. That's okay, that's allowed. And Rashi says a lashon because ve'einoy muzar al kivoydai. He's not obligated to respect the father, Farshim explain, on the same level as his son. And if so, you can understand why the limitation of not becoming a Goyel Adam, which applies to a son, does not apply. So the mitzvah of the Goyel Adam overrides the din kavod for the grandfather. But by a son, no, he cannot. The mitzvah of kibud av overrides that. Says the Mishnah, Ilon Shu Oymed B'Seich HaTchum. So we learned that the Ritzeach, while in the Ir Miklat, is protected. Outside the Ir Miklat, he's exposed to attack, right? He's vulnerable to attack. What if he's under a tree, which happens to be partially in the Tchum, right? You know, right at the border mark of the Tchum of the Ir Miklat. So let's say the base of the tree, the trunk, is inside the marker on the canopy. You know, the branches are reaching out. What status does that tree have? Ilan shu oimre b'seich atchum. The actual tree is inside. V'noife noite chutz atchum. But the knife is hanging out. Or the other way. Oimre chutz atchum. V'noife noite b'seich atchum. Says the Mishnah. Kol hulach achar knife. The canopy is what determines its status, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So it would sound from the Mishnah that wherever the knife is, that's how we label the tree. So the entire tree is drawn after the canopy. And let's say the base is inside the tchum, it's irrelevant if the knife is outside. So if the ritzeach happens to be sitting on the base, it's not going to help him because the knife, which is outside, it carries the whole tree. V'ramini v'vakasha, from a Bryce regarding Maaser Sheni. Now we're meant to know that Maaser Sheni which is what you separate in the third and the sixth year from your produce, meant to be brought to Yerushalayim. There's an option of redeeming it if you're still outside Yerushalayim, transferring the Kedusha onto money, which eventually you'll use to purchase foodstuff in Yerushalayim. That can only be done outside Yerushalayim. There's something that can only be done inside Yerushalayim, which is consuming, eating the Maaser Sheni produce. So again, we're running into a question of a tree, half in, half out. What status does it have? If you're under that tree, or you're sitting on the base of that tree, are you inside or outside? Do you know what I mean? Rabbi Yisrael, Ilan Shu Oimed Bifnim, a tree which is inside Yerushalayim, but the canopy is protruding out, or it's standing outside and leaning inside. Very simple. Mekeneged Achayim Avalifnim. If you're inside the wall of Yerushalayim, you're inside Kelifnim. Mekeneged Achayim Lachutz, the part of the tree which is outside the wall, Kelachutz is treated like outside. There's no the knife does not determine. One part of the tree does not, you know, draw the other part of the tree to itself. The part that's inside is inside. The part that's outside is outside. Versus our Mishnah, which seems to say that the knife, the branches, is what determines the entire tree's status. So first says the Gemara, how do we compare Maaser Sheni to Ir Miklat? We're trying to accomplish two different things. Maaser Ari Miklat Karamis? How could you ask one on the other? You're right, by Maaser Sheni, B'chayim Matal Rachmana. Pasuk says, L'fnei Hashem Alekecha Techlenu, says Rashi. Consume the Maaser Sheni before Hashem, inside the city, inside the walls. Whatever's inside is inside. But Ari Miklat is a totally different circumstance. But Dira Tal Rachman, there it's a question of, where is he residing? Where is he now dwelling? Where is the man to be found? But Dira Tal Rachman. Now, B'naifa mit delay. B'ikara mit delay, says Rashi. The knife of a tree is more roi, is more suitable for a dwelling. Therefore, it's protection, shade, right? Royal Dira Yosim Yikari, so the primary place of Dira by a tree is its knife. Not the base, not the bark. You can't, you know, sit on the bark, right? Sit under the tree, under the canopy. In this case, says the Gemara, certainly if we have to weigh the Ikar versus the knife is the primary Malkam Dira, and that determines its placement, its location. So at this point, we think we have a simple solution to the problem. There's no machlokes tanoim. It's universally agreed that by Maaser Sheni we look at it one way. It's about actual location, in the wall, out of the wall, versus Ari Miklat, where the focus is on the dira element of the tree. But now comes Akasha. For Rami Maaser Amaser, we have a stira within the halacha of Maaser Sheni. In the previous brisa, it was just about inside the wall, outside the wall. But now we have a Mishnah which says, regarding Maaser Sheni, guess what? The location of the branches will determine the status of the entire tree, even the trunk. This nan b'Yerushalayim halech achar hanoif, and likewise b'Ari Miklat halech you follow achar hanoif. Now we have a kasha: is it noif that determines, or is it the just the wall of Yerushalayim which determines? Amar Rav Kahana lekasha. I'll tell you the answer. We're speaking about two different shitas here. Rav Yehuda, as we're going to see in a Bryce is coming up in a minute, holds that it's always the knife that carries a day. It's where the knife is that determines the location and placement of the tree. Versus the Rabbanon, who disagree. Harabi the Rabbanon, the Sanya, Rabbi the Aimer. It's not just a question of trunk versus branches. Rabbi the Aimer b'ma'ara, let's say you have a cave snaking its way outside Yerushalayim. So the actual body of the cave is, let's say, inside. But the opening, the entrance, is outside. The entrance is what determines the placement of the cave. That's where you access it. That determines status. B'ma'ara ha'lech, or ha'lech, achar pischa, allow the entrance to determine. U'bi'ilan, by a tree, it's not about the base or the bark or the trunk. Ha'lech achar noifai, or ha'lech achar noifai, it's the knife that carries the day. Okay, simple solution. So those places where it speaks about knife, like our Mishnah, like the Mishnah we just brought now, that's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. But the brisa in between, that we brought in the beginning of the Gemara, that does not follow the knife, that's Shitas Rabbonim. Ask the Gemara Kasha. But you see, we're applying Rabbi Yehuda's principle both ways, whether it's going to generate a stringency, for instance, by the Goyal Hadam, by, you know, Uri Miklat. The point is, if he's in the city, he's safe and inaccessible to the Goyal Hadam. If he's outside the city, he's vulnerable to the Goyal Hadam. Who can kill him? So, when Rabbi Yehuda says knife is what determines, which means to say if the fellow is sitting on the base of the tree, but the knife extends outward, right? Typically the knife extends in all directions, but even if it's partially outside the city, that sort of drags the whole tree, l'chumra, and now you can kill the ritzeach, which in a way is a... it's making it easier to kill him. It's like a kula, right? Who says that Rabbi Yehuda will adopt that view, even if it causes a kula, makes it easier to kill the ritzeach? You see, by maser, true, Rabbi Yehuda says you follow the knife, but perhaps it's only if it generates a stringency. L'chumra, we go with the knife. How could you have a chumra by maser sheni? So as we explain, because only in Yerushalayim can you eat maser sheni, and only outside Yerushalayim can you redeem maser sheni. So in terms of determining placement, we're always going to go to chumra and say, well, in this case, you're like inside. You can no longer redeem. Regarding eating, no, you're like still outside. You cannot eat. And that's the Gemara's kash. But when it comes to making the Ritzeach vulnerable to attack based on this idea of following the knife, who says we do that? Maybe it's only a concept that we do L'chumra. But not L'kula. Eimur D'Shamas L'Rabbi Yehuda Gaber Masa L'chumra. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that when the tree is half in, half out, the knife determines placement, the knife determines location, only if it generates a chumra. For instance, the Gemara will play it out for us. When the tree is Ikarai, the base, the trunk is b'chutz, outside Yerushalayim. V'noifay, and the branches are leaning inward, b'fnim. You will go to chumra. And you'll say, well, even if I'm still outside, technically, I'm sitting on the trunk, no more pidyon is allowed because you're treated like you're inside because of the knife, which is inside Yerushalayim. K'yechad v'noifay le'matzi parak, just like if he's actually standing under branches inside Yerushalayim, he can no longer redeem the master sheni because nami lumati parak. Likewise, he can't be paid even if he's by the ikar. Conversely, ikarai mibifnei v'neifei b'chutz. If the actual tree is stationed inside, but the knife is sticking out, again we'll go l'chumra regarding the ability to consume master sheni. Ki yechad b'neifei lumati achol. Just like when he's under the knife, which is technically outside the walls of the city, he cannot eat maser sheni at that location below pidei without redemption. Likewise, if he's standing by the ikar, even though he's technically inside the city, you cannot eat maser sheni without pidyon, because in this case we go luchumra. We treat the entire tree as though it's outside Yerushalayim. So by maser sheni we go luchumra. Knife is a chum elagabi ori miklat. But how can we apply a kula by ori miklat by following the knife? So again, let's go through step by step. So I understand the case where the tree is mostly outside, the base is outside, and the knife is sticking in to the ir miklat. So there, agel l'chumra, ki heichid b'neif l'matzi katle, just like if the ritzeach would be standing under the knife, which is technically inside the city boundaries, the goyel adam cannot kill him, b'kare nami l'matzi katle. Likewise, if he's sitting on the base, which happens to be outside the city boundaries, he can't kill him because it relates to the ir miklat as well, because it's drawn after the knife. So that's a chumra. Eli ikara b'fnei b'neifei b'chutz. But if you play it out the other way, the base is in the ir miklat and the knife is sticking out, are you going to tell me? Ki heichid b'neifei matzikat elei b'ikara nami matzikat elei, that even if the ritzeach is sitting comfortably on the trunk of the tree inside the ir miklat, well, no, you treat it like you're outside, because just like the knife is outside the city, and Matzi Katale, if he would be standing there, the Rasech could kill him, right? Bikare Nami Matzi Katale. Likewise, even if he's on the base, in the city, you can kill him as well. He's inside the city. It's improbable. We have no basis to allow him to kill him there. This is a kula. You're being lenient, not being machmer. Who says that it's applied this way? Amar Ravas, Ravas says, you're right. Even Rabbi Yehuda would not allow the Kohel Adam to access the fellow in this manner. Because even if we go with the knife, it's only if it generates a chumra, not a kula. Amar Rav Yikare Dukuli Amalei Pligid L'Matzi Katal, you're right. If the Ritzeach is sitting on the base, which happens to be in the city, irrespective of where the knife is, even if it's sticking out of the city, you can't kill the Ritzeach. On the other hand, Ka'i ben Naifa, of course, if the tree in this situation, whose knife is outside the city, has the Ritzeach sitting under the knife, which is also outside the city, so he climbs up on the branches, and the Goyal Adam shows up with his shotgun, with his arrows, with his pebbles. In this case, all agree he can kill him. Because he's on the knife, which is outside the city. And Rav Ashi, by the way, will disagree on this point as well. But in any case, according to Rava, in this case, he has access to him. So what is the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon? In one single solitary case. Suppose he cannot, the Goyal Adam shows up, notices the Ritzeach sitting up on the tree, on the knife, and he can't, access him there, he can't kill him there. So he's going to try to climb up the tree. So he's going to run over to the base of the tree, which is inside the city, and use that as a ladder, so to speak, to climb up and find him over at the branches, which are outside the city, which are beyond the border. That's the machlek. To allow the ikra of the tree to serve as a darg, as a stepping stool, a knife, to allow the Goyal Adam access to the knife, which happens to be outside the city. Mar savar havi ikroi darg le knife. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah. The fact is, he encountered the Ritzeach outside the city. He can use the Iker as a mode of access to get to that point. Omar Savar, because the fact is, he's on the knife. And I'm just using this as a way to access. Omar Savar, Rabbanu Machmer, even in this case, Lo Yehavi Yikore Dargul HaKnifei. No, the base cannot serve the knife in any case, in any context, such as serving him as an access route to get to the knife. So that will be the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban, a very limited one case machlekes. Rav Ashi disagrees on this too. He says even Rabbi Yehuda would not allow him to access the ikar to get to the knife, and Rabbi Yehuda never meant this. Rav Ashi Omar, my achar knife. All the Rabbi Yehuda did say that when it comes to a tree, we follow the knife, even regarding the Ritzeach, af achar knife. He meant to say it's always lechumra. We also follow the knife. So whichever factor will result in a chumra, in protecting the Ritzeach, we apply that factor. So in this case, where the ikar is inside and the knife is outside, so by looking at the knife, we say, well, you're situated on the knife, and the fellow can now kill you. No, in this case, he says Rav Ashi, no, we follow the ikar. So we go both ways. Sometimes the knife can be drawn to the ikar of the tree. Sometimes the ikar drawn to the knife. So again, if you have a case of a tree, the ikar inside, the knife outside, in this case, the knife is drawn to the ikar. And since the ikar is in the city, the knife is also considered inside. And the same thing, if you have a tree whose ikar is outside and noif is inside, we go luchamru. And even if the goy is a fellow sitting on the trunk, which is outside, he would be considered like inside the city because of the noif. Okay, so in summation, we have our Mishnah and Makos by Ir Miklat, which tells us to follow the noif. We have a Brice by Master Shani, where there's just, you know, one factor at play. You're inside the wall or outside the wall. Without any discussion of, you know, any consideration as to where the knife is, that doesn't seem to be a factor. We have another Mishnah, which mentions Master Shani and Ir Miklat, where the knife is the determining factor. So after the initial attempt at differentiating between Master Shani and Miklat, we came out like this. It's Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabban. Rabbi Yehuda is quoted in a braisa, actually, that when it comes to a cave, you follow the entrance, and when it comes to a tree, you follow the knife. Regarding regarding Master Shani. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda's opinion will be reflected, right, in our Mishnah as well, in Makos, and in the later Mishnah as well, by Master Shani and Ir Miklat. It's all about the knife. So that's Rav Kahana's Teretz, versus the Braisa, which is the Rabban. Rabba comes back and says, look, we only find that it's applied l'chumra. So by Master Shani, it's always l'chumra. And regarding Ir Miklat, says Rava, well, it depends. If the tree is inside the city, and the knife is outside the city, and we spotted the Idiratzeach under the knife, in that case, yeah, he's vulnerable. But the but if the a fellow is at the Ikar, which is in the city, in that case, you can't say, well, if the knife is outside, he's like outside. No. It's only a svar l'chumra, not l'kula. Right? But let's say the knife is in the city and the trunk is outside. Then again, we go l'chumra. And we say the trunk is also considered like it was inside the Ir Miklat. Machlokes will be, however, in a case where the knife is outside and the Gal Adam can't seem to access the Ritzeach from that spot. He has to climb up through the Ikar, which is in the city. Rabbi Yehuda says, he can do so, because after all, he's just trying to access the knife. Rabbanan say, no, this is in the city. You have no business climbing up on it. Rav Ashi is pretty much in line with Rav Kahana and Rava, that, you know, Rav Yehuda is the one that says, Halech achar naif. But again, he says it's only the Chumra to the extent, even in this case where the Ikar is in the city, the knife is sticking out, and the Ritzeach happens to be by the knife, you can't do anything to him. Because in this case, we'll say the knife identifies with the Ikar. It's according to Rav Ashi. It goes both ways, according to Rav Yehuda. Sometimes the ikar could be drawn after the knife. Sometimes the knife after the ikar, as long as it benefits the Ritzeach and protects him. Continues the Mishnah. Harag Boisa Ir. Ritzeach arrived in the Ir Miklat, and guess what? Boom! He killed somebody again. Bishagaga. And he's meant to escape. He's meant to go to Golos. Goyle Mishchuna Lishchuna. So since he killed in that city, he cannot leave. Because once he gets to the Ir Miklat, he cannot leave the Ir Miklat. So even though he committed another crime in that city, he has to do gullus within that city. Mishchun l'shchuna, from one neighborhood to the other. Ben Levi, goy l'meir l'ir. As opposed to a Ben Levi, who's an original resident of the city, who killed B'shegeg, he's sent out to a different city of the Levim. He's not really meant to stay in that city, but as we're going to see the Gemara, but yeah, but if he does stay in the city, just wanders from one, you know, district to the other, that also accomplishes. So as the Gemara Tanu Rabbanu, we have a pasuk that Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu about the Ir Miklat, and it says, well, if a person kills b'shogeg, v'samti l'cha mokayim, asher yonu shama. Tanu Rabbanu, v'samti l'cha mokayim, v'samti l'cha b'chayecha. Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, in your lifetime, you will be zeicher to be involved in designating. Right? You're going to be the one setting aside those cities of refuge. Those three cities, the other side of the Yarden, which will eventually serve as Arei Miklat. The word Mokim is telling you, Bimkaimcha, that an Ir Miklat is meant to be Levi territory, whether in Eretz Yisrael, they're Arei Halavim, whether in the Midbar, where they would be exiled to the Machne Leviya, the encampment of the Leviim, which was Moshe Rabbeinu's place. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi himself, so this is the place for Miklat. Asher Yonas Shama, that teaches us Malamet Shayisrael Maglum Midbar. If it was necessary, they would actually do Golas in the Midbar as well. To where? Leichon Maglum L'Machne Leviya. So if one killed B'Shege, he goes to Machne Leviya, that's his Ir Miklat. Mikan Amr, based on this we learn, Ben Levi Shaharag Goylem Plach Leplach. The fact that the Pasuk says V'samtu L'cha, and L'cha is to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that if a Levi gets involved and gets is Chayav Golas, he can't just say, well, I'm already in Ir Miklat, I'm the Machne Leviya. No. Goylem Plach Leplach has to be taken to a different city, as we learned in the Mishnah. But B'di'evet, after the fact, if he did it within the same city, V'mgolul L'Pilchay, if he went to a different neighborhood within the same city, Pilchay Koltoy, so his city absorbs him and he's done. Okay, so here we learn by Ibn Levi that if he ended up in the same city that he started off, he just relocated to a different part of town, right? It works. And likewise in the Mishnah, we learned that if a Ritzeach, a regular Ritzeach, a Yisrael, who was exiled to Ir Miklat, who actually killed in that city again, how does he fulfill his chiv of galus? He relocates to a different neighborhood. How do we know this works? Amar v'achbe d'Rav Ika Mikra, ki b'Ir Miklat ha-yeshev. He's meant to stay in the Ir Miklat. He could have just said, ki sham yeshev. He stays there. Why repeat, ki Ir Miklat ha-ir shakal tasei kvar? That even the original city, which had absorbed him, can continue to absorb him despite the fact that really, he killed again, or whatever. So he stays in the same city, in the case of the Levi, but the Yevet, if he did decide to stay in the same city, his Yotzei, his Chayvas Golas, and he's protected. Okay, let's just quickly summarize today's daf, the two mistakes that Yoav committed regarding grabbing the Mizbeach, the three mistakes of the Sorei Shel Roimi. The city protects, and so does the Tchum. What is the status of a Goel Hadam? We have three Shittos. He may not touch the fellow. He could, or he should. Three different Shittos. We discussed regarding if a son to a father. We discussed the Machlekes regarding a tree, half in, half out. We just look at where you are, or do you look at drawing one side to the other? Machlekes Rabbi Din Rabbanan. And we learned the Chiddush that the Yidden would do Golas even in the Midbar, to Machna Leviya. And if it so happened that a person who was in a Ir Leviya, like a Ritzeach who was there because of a prior episode, got involved again in murdering B'Shegig, he goes and relocates to a different part of the city. A Ben Levi, who kills B'Shegig, should be going to a different city. But the Yevid relocating within the same city is effective as well. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.